back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult, so you know what that means. We're back. You've chosen us to hang out with you to kickstart this wonderful work week. Thank you for that. Welcome. Welcome. If you're new here, me and Kyle like to chit-chat a little bit. So if that's not what you're into, you're going to want to fast forward to the 5-6 minute mark, somewhere around there. We'll get to the crux of the show. If not, hang out, listen to us yap. If you're not new here, you know the drill. Thanks for coming back and hanging out with us, you weirdos. Today's show, we're diving into part two of these missing and murdered scientists and other government officials that's been going on. I know you've all heard about it. If you didn't check out last week's show, which was the first part one of this, you're going to want to do that. Then circle back around here so you can hear part two. We're diving into some more cases. Probably going to be a three-parter. We'll see how it goes, depending on how quick me and Kyle get to jabbing and whatnot. But on that note, thanks for hanging out with us. Check us out at all our socials. You know what they are. Just type in the Hollow Sky Podcast and you'll find us there. Come join the community. Be part of the cult. It's a fun time. It's a cool cult. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on an upcoming show, which we've just been talking about, we procrastinated recording and been talking about a plan to get your stories out there.
Yeah.
We got to step up on that. You can shoot them to us, and Kyle's got the information you're going to want.
I do. As always, it's in the show notes, but it's also hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out and as much information as you possibly can and send it over there. Because like Steve said, we were talking, kind of brainstorming prior to this. I've got some pretty tasty ideas for it. They are going to be rather separate sometimes, you know. Like Steve's going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's going to bounce back and forth. But also, I've kind of started a new show on Patreon. And it's not there. Your stories aren't going to be locked behind the paywall, but it will be on the new show that I've got created called Tales from the Tackle Box. So if you're interested in something like that, it's going to have, you know, it's going to be over there on Patreon. That version will be locked away. Other than that, you know, that same audio will be transitioned to the show as its own individual listener experience.
Hell yeah.
So that's the new direction we're going to be going. And give us a minute, too, because we are, I mean, it is, we're kind of bragging a bit here, rightfully so. But we are narrating a series of books, which we are excited about. So right now, that's actually taking up a lot of time.
We're trying our best.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're excited about that. As soon as we get them done and they're published, they pass the quality control, you guys will know with the books, and hopefully you'll support it.
Yeah, they're not our books. We're just narrating them.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's cool.
We got asked to narrate them, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, we'll break the news. But it is an author that we've used as a source on the show.
Yeah.
So, full circle.
Yeah, even, yeah, that makes it a little bit even more exciting.
It's kind of a weird life we live sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, if you'd like to support the show, you can hop over to Patreon, like Kyle said. There's going to be some new stuff going on over to there. You can pick a tier, see what you like, see what you want, sign up there. Also, shout out to all our patrons who are already signed up over there. Love you guys. The patron sect of the Hollow Cult. You can go to hollowskypodcast.com. Check out the merch there. If you're a patron, you can see some of the merch ideas we've been floating around. Get it? Float. Fishing.
Yeah. So. And actually, we kind of settled on, I let Patreon decide some of the new shirts. So the new shirt will be on the way. I am going to try something, though. I'm going to try, I think, as long as the company that we use, as long as we use the same ink, I think I can pick a different colored shirt as well. So I think I'm going to go to Patreon and list a couple different colors of shirts and let them pick a color. I've already got tan picked out, so tan's happening. I'm a big tan fan. So that's definitely happening. But I'm going to mock up some other colors for you guys. And I'm going to let you guys pick the other color and try to get it in that other color. So there's a couple of different options for you.
See? As the patron sect of the Hollow Cult, you have a voice. You have a voice.
You do.
What else? Share the show word of mouth. Share it over there. Share it wherever you can see it. Share the show on social media. Tell all your weird friends. Spray paint it on a building. Do whatever you got to do. Keep the Hollow Cult growing. The medic virus that is Hollow Sky Podcast. Keep it going. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And I will shout you out. There's been a plethora of them hit here lately.
Yay.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So today, this week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend, Deuter McSauceman.
Yes.
I think he's been in here before, but he's coming back around.
Hell yeah.
The best show, trophy emoji. Yes. 5-star. We got a trophy. 5 stars. One of my all-time favorite shows. Amazing research and great banter since 2019. The Siege of Lockett Ranch. Whoa, the Siege of Lockett Ranch was amazing. Keep up the quality work, fellas.
Thanks.
Hell yeah, Deuter.
That's appreciated right there.
Yeah. That was a good one. Cop put in some
information. I mean, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Hell yeah. Another way you can support the show is by checking out our lovely sponsors that you are about to hear from right now.
Hey, Hollow Cult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity? Try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code HOLO.
And just like that, we are back. Welcome, Hollow Cult. Welcome. Like I said earlier, if you haven't listened to part one, you're going to want to go back and listen to it to get the first two-ish cases that we talked about from these missing and murdered scientists and government officials and military officials. It's pretty much taken over all the media right now. We talked about William McCausland last week. And also Monica Reza. So you're going to want to check them out. It's weird. They've got some weird tie-ins with one another. Again, we're not claiming anything, but we kind of are. We're just kind of trying to put the information out there, right? So we're going to kick off this week with a woman by the name of Melissa Cassius. She has been missing since June 26, 2025 in Taos County, New Mexico. She was last seen walking alone on Highway 518 near Talpa around 2:15 p.m. wearing a light-colored shirt, jeans, tennis shoes, with a backpack containing some personal items. Cassius, 53, was an administrative assistant at Los Alamos National Laboratory, a facility known for nuclear weapons, research, and national security science. If you're keeping track, this is 4 days after Monica Reza disappeared. So strange.
It's a close timeline there.
Strange.
Makes it feel coincidental.
Connected, if you will.
Yeah, I definitely lean in connected.
So I'm going to go into a little bit of the case here. Some of these have a lot of information that I could find. Some of them not so much, because people are continuously connecting threads as this keeps going on. So up to this point, I've got as much information as I could find right now. So that morning at 6:15 a.m., she drove her husband, Mark, to work at Los Alamos. Both of them had worked there. She told him she was heading to another location on site and drove away. By 7:45 a.m., she was back at their home in Ranchos de Teos. She told her daughter, Sierra, that she'd forgotten her security clearance badge and was going to work from home. Sierra didn't question it at the time, but another family member then brought up, if she didn't have her badge, how did she get into the base to drop her husband off?
True story.
Strange.
Also ironic that she works at that facility.
Yeah. That's a pretty big nuclear facility there.
Yeah.
If she drove through the LANL security gate, she would have had to have her badge to enter. She told her daughter exactly the opposite. So, makes you wonder. Her husband Mark said, quote, "She took me, dropped me off, and I told her I needed the car by around 11. She said she'd have it back by 11 o'clock, as she usually does." Melissa told Sierra that she had decided to, quote, "either work from home or call out for the day," after arriving home that morning. "Nothing was unusual. Her behavior wasn't different. Nothing that caught me off guard," Sierra said. "Right when I was leaving, I always hug her bye and say I love you and all of that. We did that. Everything was completely normal." Sierra says she left for work shortly after that interaction. Around 12:30 p.m., Melissa picked up a Subway sandwich for Sierra's lunch and dropped it off at the cafe where Sierra works in Teos Plaza, a business center in Teos. Sierra said the two spoke briefly, and then she handed her mother a check to drop off at the bank for her, and her mother left. In an email on behalf of investigators, New Mexico State Police PIO Sergeant Ricardo Brasida confirmed to Dateline that the two spoke from between 12:50 to 12:57. So everything up to that point seemed pretty on par with a regular day, minus the fact that she came home from work and told her daughter she forgot her badge, which she couldn't have, because to get through the gate, I'd read reports to get through the gate, even though her and her husband both work there, the driver of the car had to have the badge.
I would have assumed that
you couldn't pass it over and say, "Hey, we're getting them in here."
Yeah, I would have assumed that both people in the car would have to have a badge, because I did think, like, well, maybe her husband had the badge.
Yeah,
but
probably so. They probably both had to have their badge.
That's what I would think. Yeah.
Yeah. Took her daughter lunch. Everything just normal. Sierra goes on to say she may have been a little more quiet, but still nothing that caught me off guard. Because if she's running errands, she'll run in and out, and I'm just going to be seeing her later. So I gave her my check. She dropped off my food. She said, "I love you," walked out. Again, nothing weird, nothing. Her demeanor wasn't out of the ordinary. Sierra hasn't seen her mother since that morning. When 11 a.m. passed and his wife hadn't returned with the car, Mark says he figured Melissa had gotten busy at work until he got a call from her boss in the afternoon. She says, "Is Melissa okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, she should be at work." And that's when she told me that she wasn't at work. Mark says he tried to reach Melissa after hearing from her boss, but was unable to do so. Sierra says she got a text from her father at around 1:30 p.m. She says, quote, "He was seeing if I was getting in contact with my mom. And I said, I told him, yeah. So he had asked me, can you text her and ask her if I need a ride home or if she's going to pick me up? Sierra remembered, so I text her, and I was like, I just text the screenshot to her. She read it, so I assumed she was just going to call him or whatever that they do. I didn't think and I didn't pay it any mind. So at that point, past 1 o'clock, she was reading text messages she was receiving. The last known
she wasn't responding to any of those?
I guess not.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, it gets weirder.
Oh, man, because that almost makes it feel like somebody else had her phone.
That's the phone. It's fucking weird.
That sucks, man.
The last known sighting of Melissa Cassius was approximately 45 minutes later. On June 26, 2025, at around 2:18 p.m., a family acquaintance observed Melissa walking eastbound on New Mexico 518 from the Talpa, New Mexico area towards Potts Creek, said Sergeant Brasita to Dateline. The sighting, which was about 3 miles from Cassius' home, was also captured on security video from a local business, Kit Carson Electric Company. Quote from the sergeant, she is observed walking eastbound on New Mexico 518 and wearing the clothing that she was last reported in when seen in Tazo Plaza, light-colored shirt, jeans, light tennis shoes. It's difficult to tell if she appeared distressed in the video. Her family thinks that she may have gotten into a vehicle shortly after she was seen on the video, which New Mexico State Police investigators describe as a possibility that's being investigated, according to Presida. There's not any evidence of that up to this point that I can find, so it's kind of strange that her family would throw that out there, that maybe she got into a vehicle, especially if she wasn't acting weird, there wasn't anything sus going on.
It is a weird assumption.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can understand asking that question. You know, did she get in the car with somebody at that point and drive off? But
suggesting it almost makes you feel like they know more than.
Yeah. Almost like they're trying to kind of push the story in a particular direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird, man. And you would think that with it, you know, if people are really as invested in this story as they appear to be, somebody out there is going to find the video.
Something.
Unless somebody's already premeditated that and they're getting rid of the video.
Yeah, it could be. I wonder how, I don't know how, like, what the lay of the land is out in Taos, but, like, if it's a big town or if it's, like, sparsely populated. I didn't really go to Google Maps and, like, look. But I think they said that the drive to Los Alamos was a pretty good one, like 35 or 40 minutes from their home. So they're pretty good ways away, which you would think, Los Alamos being a nuclear facility, it would be in the middle of nowhere.
Right? Yeah, you would think so.
So it may be sparse out there. There may not be that many cameras.
It's possible.
It's also weird that...
But that makes it even weirder that she'd be walking down the fucking road.
Yeah. It's also weird that multiple of these are from New Mexico. McCaslin she is. I think there's two more that we get into, which is strange.
It is strange.
So around 2 p.m., while in the middle of rush work, Sierra began getting calls from her father. I couldn't get to the phone for another like 20 minutes, so it was 2:30 when I finally got to the phone, she said. I saw one of his voicemails, and it sounded frantic, or just not frantic, but worried. Mark told Sierra he still had not heard from Melissa. Sierra then reached out to her mother again. I text her and I was like, hey, dad's freaking out. Like, why aren't you answering him? She said, my text didn't deliver at that point. Worried, Sierra left work around 3:30 to go home. The door was locked. The car was in the driveway. I saw immediately that the keys and her work phone were on our kitchen table, she said. I just went and searched the house really quick. While looking around the home, Sierra went into her mother's office. That's where I found her phone, her purse, and her wallet, and all of her personal items. She said, I'd clicked on the phone, and it showed a factory reset, as well as a factory reset on her Los Alamos National Laboratory-issued phone. They had both been wiped, and that's when I got really, really worried.
Bro, what the fuck?
Crazy. Crazy.
That's crazy. Because I was not expecting that at all. Because like you were saying, her texts were being read earlier, not answered.
Crazy.
And then all of a sudden her phone is at home, but it's factory reset.
Yeah.
And the work phone.
You would think though, that National Laboratory phone probably
locked down.
yeah, big security measures on that.
You would think so. I was getting ready to say bare minimum, it's got a password on it.
Yeah, completely factory reset.
And the fact that it's factory reset is crazy.
And you're going to notice a pattern here, Holocult. With McCaslin, left his keys, left his wallet, left his cell phone on the counter, disappeared. Her, left all her stuff on the desk and the counter, disappeared. This will be a reoccurring theme in these people that have disappeared. Which is a weird modus operandi.
It's so bizarre. Because if you ran the direction that somebody was circling back and putting their belongings back at home, to what end would, like, why would you do that?
Yeah, it's almost
because, like, wouldn't it be better to just leave them gone to make it look more like the person just up and left?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they just grabbed their keys, took the car, drove out of their lives, and never came back.
So weird.
That's bizarre.
And how many of them just took off walking on foot?
That's even more bizarre.
Crazy.
Like, you have a car. Drive away.
Crazy. Moving on here, Sierra also found the check she had given her mother hours earlier to take to the bank. Sergeant Procida confirmed to Dateline that, quote, all belongings, including Melissa's purse and factory reset phones, were found inside Melissa's home. While Cassius was labeled as an administrative assistant, she was much more involved than that at Los Alamos. The Department of Energy records confirmed that she had served on the Northern New Mexico's Citizens Advisory Board for Environmental Management, Los Alamos, from 2022 and 2023, participating in the Department of Energy's meetings on legacy radioactive waste remediation, environmental monitoring, and federal cleanup budgets at the nuclear weapons facility where she had worked. Her name is on official correspondence to the DOE field office manager. She sat in rooms where sensitive facility data was discussed, because a lot of them tried to write this off that she was just an administrative assistant. Well, she's kind of in it more than just that. Los Alamos National Laboratory is located 100 miles north of Kirtland Air Force Base, where McCaslin once commanded operations. Los Alamos and the AFRL share extensive programmatic overlap in advanced materials, directed energy, weapons, and physics. The New Mexico Defense Corridor runs from Albuquerque through Santa Fe to Los Alamos. McCaslin vanished on one end. Cassius disappeared on another. And also the timeline. 4 days after Monica Reza disappeared, essentially walked into nothingness when she was hiking.
It's so weird.
Strange. Strange. The New Mexico State Police investigation remains open and active to this day. No breakthroughs have been reported since August 2025. She is still classified as missing and endangered. She has not been found. Her job at Los Alamos links her to McCaslin, who worked closely with Los Alamos on national security projects at Kirtland Air Force Base. She vanished just 4 days after Reza mysteriously disappeared. Another name that could be added to this list happened just a few weeks before Cassius went missing. So within a short time span, Reza, Cassius, and this man, Anthony Chavez. Chavez was 78, was a longtime Los Alamos National Laboratory employee who worked at the laboratory until approximately 2017. He lived on 37th Street in Denver Seals, New Mexico, one of the oldest neighborhoods in Los Alamos. The homes are prefabricated structures assembled from kits in the late 1940s by the Atomic Energy Commission to house workers during post-war expansion of the nuclear weapons complex. The neighborhood exists because the laboratory exists. His landline records show he last made calls from his house on the evening of May 5th, 2025. He did not carry a cell phone. On May 8th, when his friends and family could not reach him, Los Alamos Police Department conducted a welfare check. His car was locked in the driveway. Inside, his wallet, keys, and cigarettes sat on the living room table. There was no sign of forced entry, no blood found on the scene, zero signs of a struggle. Again, all of his stuff left right there.
Yeah, homie's not forgetting his smokes, nor his wallet.
Isn't that crazy that this stuff lines up like this?
Yeah,
it makes no sense. It's almost like they're leaving a calling card.
It's almost like they're being fucking hypnotized.
Or something. Just vanished out of thin air.
Like, it makes no sense at all.
Crazy, man. Detective Zabado, Detective Zabo, lead investigator, described the scene. Quote, "There was no evidence of a scuffle. There was no blood. There was nothing. It was just like he got up and left. Specialized cadaver dogs from Sandia Search Dogs and Mountain Canine Corps searched his home, his sister's nearby property, and the trails along Pueblo Canyon. All searches returned negative. His bank account activity ceased around May 5th, and he has never been found. Carl Buckland, a close friend and attorney who had known Chavez since childhood, publicly disputed the idea that he left voluntarily. He described Chavez as healthy and extremely mentally stable. The Los Alamos Police Department issued two missing persons announcement mid-May 2025. After May 20th, all media coverage ceased. A single local Substack article from Boomtown Los Alamos was published June 25th, 2025, and remains the most detailed public account of the case." So again, almost in the exact same, just weeks before these other two went missing, this man goes missing. Also retired from the same place Cassius worked at, where she went missing.
It's weird that they're all around that Los Alamos laboratory, and it just so happens to fuck with nuclear stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's like the fun theoretical side of my brain almost just wants to be like, because it, okay, hear me out. This is going to be a wild theory.
This is what we're here for.
This is wild, okay? What if, because all these scientists have been surrounded with, like, so far, nuclear knowledge, propulsion, stuff like that. So what if, and like I said, not saying this is factual, this is fucking wild. But what if there is something out there that is prevent, like, these people selectively had the knowledge to propel us forward technologically, maybe enhancing the ability to travel into outer space or whatnot, and something out there is putting a quick end to the possible future discoveries. You know, because it doesn't even mean that these individuals are currently working on stuff in my out there theory. What if these people were destined to contribute to something?
I love it.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's plausible.
Oh, yeah.
It's out there. It's definitely an out there theory, but...
No, it's not. Jacques Vallée talked similarly about the phenomena, that it polices itself. It doesn't let humanity move forward too quickly. And it does, I know I talked about it on the night shift, so if it sounds like I'm a broken record, that's because I've already said this. But if you read in, I think it's Passports to Magonia, he talks about, there's a chapter where he's talking about the phenomena policing itself. Plasma scientists in Russia getting unalived by people. There was one, the woman was walking, pushed this plasma scientist off in front of a subway, in front of a train, killed him, right? She said that she was, no connection with this man. She said that she was told to do that by aliens putting thoughts in her head.
That's fucked up.
So it's one of two things. It's either the phenomena busting into to our thought pattern, or it's some sort of governmental thing busting into our thought pattern, causing people to do. And that's not the only case of it. There was another man walked into a French radio station with a rifle going to murder one of the newscasters. Not because something he said on air, not because he was being controversial, because this man in his spare time investigated UFO research. Was writing papers, all kinds of stuff. The man with the rifle said he was told by aliens to put this man down.
That's crazy.
it's not even that the dude was like talking about it on the news station. He just did it in his spare time.
That's
so
crazy.
It's not that far-fetched if you just kind of think outside the box a little bit, that something either in the phenomena wants to keep people from moving too far forward, from knowing too much.
Which is crazy because that means the phenomena itself has its own intelligence.
Yeah.
Like it's not just a gateway or something like it's not like I guess for lack of way better examples, it's not like Wi-Fi. It's not just floating in the ether existing.
Yeah.
It has an intelligence to it, which makes it terrifying. And it kind of does play to what we've talked about before, where I've brought up how that would mean the phenomena itself has the ability to like accept and reject you into that stage, so to speak.
And at the very least, emotionally and psychologically manipulate you.
Yeah.
Which I want to be like, nah, humans are too, you know, we're too tuned in to be, you know, psychologically manipulated by some other source. But we get psychologically manipulated and emotionally manipulated by other humans, and humans are stupid as fuck.
Yeah.
So something 100 million years more advanced than us is definitely puppeting with our minds.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even for me, to really roll that around in my head that the phenomena is protecting itself or narrating humanity's future is a pretty crazy thing to say.
It is fucking nuts, bro.
It's crazy to contemplate the reality of that. Cause it sounds like straight up science fiction. Yeah. And I mean, we talk about aliens and fucking all types of cryptids and stuff.
It's crazy.
It is. It's crazy. It's crazy.
And it may be even twofold. You may be these people may be working against the phenomena and against the government.
Yeah.
Which is even worse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard telling because we don't know like the in and outs of their work and what they did.
Yeah. And we know the government is all about manipulating people's thought patterns, getting them to do crazy shit and
yeah.
stuff. So it could go either way.
Shit, with one homie, he was the news anchor and he was just doing, he had a hobby of looking in.
It's what we do.
Yeah, 100%.
Crazy.
And dude gets clipped or attempted clipped for it.
Yeah. And once you hear some of these other cases, it lines up almost exactly similarly with
it's wild. With that.
Crazy shit. It
doesn't make sense.
The next one, trigger warning. Some of these are going to get violent. I don't go into a lot of the details, but there are murders getting ready to pop up because up to this point, it was just disappearances. Now it's starting to take a turn.
Huh. It's weird, too. You'd almost feel like if you're laying this out, you'd almost need to break them into categories. Why did some go missing and why did some cease to exist now?
It almost makes me wonder if there was, which kind of pushes it toward the...
And I guess to be fair, we don't know that the other ones aren't...
Are still alive.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes me lean the government way because what if a shadow sect of the government is taking these people to work on something so undercover, so clandestine that they can't even let them know they exist?
I think that's a extremely fair possibility.
To the point to where, like you had said, on the night shift, they have to be like in...
All in.
Yeah. To where they are completely disappeared, which is, it's weird. Like, why leave? Why do so many people leave their wallets and all their personal belongings like a calling card? But what better way to start completely over than have no identification on you whatsoever?
Yep.
So it goes both ways.
It's weird, man. Like you said, it's something that none of us ever willingly leave the house with.
Yeah. You always check keys, wallet, phone.
Every time.
Keys, wallet, phone. That's
you're naked without any of the three.
Monster energy drink.
And yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, it sounds like all these took their monster with them. So, okay, we're moving on to, again, trigger warning. Violence is going to become a part of these things from here forward. October 25th, 2025, we move to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which you all know, if you're here and you're listening, you know what Wright-Patterson's about. Wright-Patterson is UFO Central. Roswell crash went to Wright-Patterson. Bodies went to Wright-Patterson. Crashes all over the world go to Wright-Patterson. It's what Area 51, they want us to think Area 51 is Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. October 25th, 2025, Jacob Pritchard, 34, an acquisition project manager for AFRL's Sensor Directorate, develops technologies for air and space reconnaissance, surveillance, precision engagement, and electronic warfare, space-based sensors, the same technological pipeline that feeds the infrared detection work that another person we're going to talk about, Carl Grillmere, had his fingers in, which I'll get to later, but I had to do this one first, so keep that in mind. These two are on the same pipeline with these sensors and space surveillance and stuff like that. His job was managing advanced research programs that produced these systems. Jamie Pritchard, married to Jacob Pritchard, 33, worked within the Air Force Life Cycle Management Center. She was a finance specialist. Her family described her as working full-time and excelling as a mother. Another person, Jamie Gustadis, was operations research analyst in the 711th Human Performance Wing, also part of the AFRL. She grew up in Novi, Michigan, with three brothers and two sisters. She graduated from the Air Force Academy in 2022. She earned a master's degree in science and operations research from Air Force Institute of Technology. She held a top secret SCI clearance. She specialized in mathematical and quantitative modeling for aerospace applications. So these all are not slouches here either. She was the kind of person the Air Force spends a decade and millions of dollars on building and training. She had been out of the academy for 3 years. On October 25th, 2025, Jacob Pritchard, 34, murdered his wife Jamie at their home in Huber Heights, Ohio, placed her body in the trunk of their car. He then drove to Sugar Creek Township, where he broke into the apartment of co-worker First Lieutenant Jamie Gustadis, 25, and shot her to death. He drove to West Milton Municipal Building, parked in the safety exchange zone, opened the trunk so that the responding officers would find Jamie's body, and then he offed himself on camera.
Damn.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's brutal.
Crazy, especially if you think that the phenomena is manipulating people to silence themselves and other people within this field. So three people connected the Air Force research conglomerate. Gone within a 12-hour period.
Very bizarre backgrounds they have too.
Yeah,
a lot of outer space shit.
Yeah, which I mean, you tied into rocket space engineering from Raisin and Aerodyne.
There's been already a few mentions of essentially military weaponry.
Yeah,
it's kind of circling a narrative.
It's hard to, like, I know a lot of people are like, this isn't a conspiracy, but it's hard to.
Oh, dude, come on. How does that many go? Like, I could understand some of them. Like, we could even chalk this batch up. Somebody had a mental breakdown, did some really bad stuff. It happens, right? But the things that you, like, the part of it that you will never justify to me is the fact that some of them just go missing.
Yeah. But like we talked about, if you throw in the theory, like Valet was talking about, the theory that the phenomena itself could silence these people, could tell people to essentially silence other people by ways of violence, pushing them in front of a train, whatever. It's not that far-fetched to not link or to link it to these other ones.
Yeah, and then the fact that, like, these cases right here, the ones you've presented already, they're they could be classified in two separate camps right now because they all worked so closely with each other.
Yeah.
You know, the first one's from this Los Alamos sect, and then you have this company where these individuals all, like, that's, come on, that's way too close to be coincidence.
And so far, all these ones that I've mentioned outside of McCaslin who disappeared this year were all within May, June, July, August, September, a 6-month time frame.
See, and that shit don't just happen either.
Oh, weird.
I don't think I've ever worked anywhere where, say, 3 people go deceased within 7 months.
No.
Not even a year.
I worked at Pepsi for a decade and nobody went missing ever.
Yeah.
So.
That's crazy.
Strange. Strange things afoot at the Circle K.
Definitely.
So this investigation spans 3 Ohio counties. It's being run jointly by the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation and local polices across Greene, Montgomery, and Miami counties. It's also investigated by the Air Force Office of Special Investigations. The AFOSI is nothing to fuck with, right? They're not a base security. They're not your local police department. They are basically the counterintelligence and criminal investigation agency of the Air Force. The unit that handles counterintelligence threats, espionage, all those big bangers are looking into this case, which I know I'm like... Officer-on-officer violence is probably a big deal, but is it warranting something that, like, looks into legitimate national security threats? Makes you wonder.
Oh, for sure.
Makes you wonder. Months after the incident, authorities have explicitly stated that they have not determined a motive. There was no confirmed affair, no restraining order places, there was no documented history of domestic violence. The public record contains no explanation as why Jacob Pritchard killed an SCI-cleared operations research analyst and his own wife on a Saturday in October. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is where Dallas Hardwick spent most of her career, which, if you know, she worked with Reza to create Mandalore. So there is a connection between Los Alamos and Wright-Patterson.
Because that's not weird at all.
Yeah, not necessarily to these people, but from base to base. It's also the installation where William McCaslin commanded. It's where the government side of the Mandalore partnership is also managed. So it's tying itself back into the first disappearances. Strange. From there, we move on to the man that I mentioned earlier, Carl Grillmar. Carl was an astrophysicist and astronomer at Caltech Infrared Processing and Analysis Center, IPAC. The Infrared Processing Intelligence Center, Grillmore's science interests span many topics, such as exoplanets and stellar streams, which are remnants from ancient collisions between our Milky Way and other galaxies. He discovered dozens of these streams, with many named by him. In 2007, one of his most impactful findings, he was the lead author on a publication that, quote, captured for the first time enough light from planets outside our solar system, known as exoplanets, to identify molecules in their atmosphere, according to a press release about the work. Grillmar was celebrated for his groundbreaking research in astronomy, including the discovery of dozens of stellar streams, also the first detection of water signatures in the atmospheres of exoplanets. So essentially...
That's crazy.
Life on other planets. For over 30 years, he worked at IPEC, where he worked on numerous projects, including the NEOWISE Science Data Center, where he validated data pipelines for hunting asteroids and comets that could impact the Earth. Clearly, he was no joke, a well-respected astrophysicist, and wrote almost 150 peer-reviewed papers under his belt about astrophysics. He recently began a project to test new instrumentation at Caltech's Palomar Observatory for monitoring meteor impacts on the moon's surface during an upcoming lunar eclipse. Grillmar's role involved testing new instrumentations and ensuring that NEO's surveyor instruments performed their specific or performed to specifications to identify dark, cold objects against the black of space. Carl was shot dead on the front porch of his home in Llano, California on February 16, 2026. The perpetrator, Freddie Snyder, a 29-year-old Llano resident, was charged with the February 16, 2026 murder of 67-year-old Caltech astrophysicist Carl Grillmore on his front porch. Snyder was arrested following the shooting and subsequent carjacking, with reports indicating that he had previously been arrested for trespassing on Grillmore's property in December of 2025. Yes, you heard that right. Carl had called the police on December 20th when this guy had trespassed onto his property carrying a loaded and now known unregistered rifle. Police came and arrested this guy on a weapons charge for an unregistered firearm, which trespassing with an unregistered firearm is a felony.
Let's say it should be a pretty serious crime.
Yes, it's a felony. Snyder told him he was walking to the post office, which coincidentally is the opposite direction from his home that Grillmar's home is.
Mm.
Snyder, post office, Grillmore. Different places.
He's just confused.
Yeah, he's confused all
right. Got turned around a little bit.
He's confused all right. So, felony charge. However, the judge didn't think that he was all that bad of a guy.
Hmm.
He instilled the Penal Code 1385, first-time offender. A look beyond technical rules and circumstances. And the guy is released on February 5th. Only to come back 11 days later, after stealing his mother's car, to shoot Carl in the chest and kill him on his front porch. It should be noted that Carl lived in a fairly secluded spot, meaning someone would have to purposely be on his property. You have to seek him out. It's almost as if someone wanted this guy out of jail to finish the particular job that he didn't achieve on December 20th.
I mean, if two not smart guys like us see that pattern, how do these other people not acknowledge that pattern other than being like paid for?
Dude, I have no idea. How is that a thing?
Definitely shouldn't be.
No, especially like it's either the biggest drop of the ball ever on a court system, which we know that happens and sure, they do that. But the dude was out for 11 days and went back and shot this man in the chest who previously called the police on him because he was on his property with a rifle.
That's one of them cases where I feel like the judge should be held slightly accountable.
Some sort of accountability.
Yeah, because that's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that is nuts. I need to go back up here and see where. Oh yeah, and like I had pointed out, Jacob Pritchard, the guy who murdered his wife and his coworker, was working on sensors that were used at Caltech that Carl Grillmore was doing all of his tech work, looking for asteroids and shit.
Yeah, it almost makes you feel like all these people are somehow linked to like space travel,
which they kind of sort of are.
It's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
Like in a compartmentalized way, they're all linked to like space travel,
which is wild. It's wild to think about.
Crazy.
That they just keep stacking up and interweaving themselves with one another. Not right on the surface, but if you look into it, a lot of these people were being funded by McCaslin's funds. That dude was over billions of dollars, and they just happened to be funneled here, and they happened to be funneled here, and the people that are working on and using those funds happen to disappear, and you know, one person works on this sensor and then this other person uses this sensor to detect asteroids and now they're both gone.
Right.
Along with the man who originally wrote the checks for it.
Freaking wild.
It's wild. I'm probably going to end this one here on this one so we have enough for another episode. But I don't know. It's so hard. It's so hard not to connect threads.
Yeah.
At what point do all these things stop being coincidence?
Whenever more than one person within a year goes missing from a facility.
Puts their wallet and their keys and their cell phone on the counter and just walks out into the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm never going to buy that. That's just quinky-dink.
Bonkers. Ever.
Something's definitely going on. I don't know that I have the picture, but something has to be going on.
Yeah, the theories are, dude, I don't even know what my theories are.
And I'm not going to buy, at this point, I don't think I'm going to buy like a espionage, another country is involved in kidnapping and eliminating, because if, in my opinion, if that was the case, you would think that means said country would have spies in all of these different companies, and somehow they have all put together the bigger picture, which the scientists involved most likely don't even know the big picture, but this other country has, and then starts systematically eliminating people.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah, I don't think that's a reality. I think there's something else going on.
And if it were that, if it were like, because a theory is that either a foreign adversary government or a shadow sect of our government is taking these people.
The shadow sect makes more sense than a foreign government.
Taking these people to use them to come up with technologies that they'll essentially use in the future. Could it be some sort of like, you know, military defense contractor doing it or whatever? But why are some of them getting murdered and some of them disappearing? That's, you would think you'd want all this information alive.
Yeah.
Especially a guy like Carl Gromar, who is, in my eyes, a genius. Writing peer-reviewed astrophysics papers, that's pretty fucking smart to me.
Yeah.
And I'm dumb. So.
Well, and I mean, and you would also think that, like, if that was the theory, if that was the case, right? If they're working on this ultra top secret. Well, maybe not. I was going to say that you would think at that point that none of these people would be expendable because all of these people would have to offer something outside the box of normality. But maybe they're clipping the ones who are more expendable. Like, Steve's good at this, but so isn't Kyle.
Or maybe they're not directly tied to the main sect, but they have information that if this were to get out, that these people could connect more dots than we are. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
because,
sure.
Because Jamie Gustatus had top secret clearance at Wright-Patterson.
Yeah. And I mean that, like, in that world, knowledge is the most nuclear thing that they could hold.
There is also a theory out there that the case that sparked this all off, William McCaslin, the Air Force general, big head honcho that just walked off into the New Mexico emptiness earlier this year. There is a theory going around that a higher intelligence agency has pushed all of these other disappearances and deaths to the surface. So people start focusing on them and taking their mind off of McCaslin.
Interesting.
Which is also why now you've got the president talking about it. Now you've got all of these senators and congressmen talking about it. It's it's big news now.
And I feel like that's a ballsy tactic, though.
Well, it is, but it's also a legitimate tactic. Flood the source,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
It takes everybody's mind off the initial, because it was getting a lot of press time right then. A lot, because it took the eyes off the Nancy Guthrie case. Was McCaslin going missing? Everybody started focusing on that. And then they're like, maybe we should take our eyes off of this. Have you seen all these other people that went missing and were murdered?
Right.
So it's still like it's up in the air. But that's another theory, that they're flooding the scene with all these other ones putting it out there.
Could be.
Because it's all major media sources that keep pointing out the next one. Like Daily Mail and shit.
But still, at the end of the day, there's still something sus going on.
True.
Because there's motherfuckers in the same building going missing.
That is true.
So regardless, I just feel like it's a ballsy move. And I mean, dude, internet sleuths are a lot smarter than people give them fucking credit for.
Yeah, 100%.
They're a lot smarter, especially when you get a few of them assholes in a room together. I wouldn't count them out. No. They might be underdogs, but I wouldn't count them out.
There's a lot of documentaries where these nerds solve murders and shit. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, there are people out there that are really good at what they do. And they're really intelligent individuals.
Yeah. You're going to want to tune in next week, because there are more still to come. I still have multiple ones here, and some of them are so bonkers that you're just like, what the fuck is even happening?
I'm already kind of at that point. Like, my brain's kind of bouncing all over the place trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
It really leans into what Kyle was saying, like me, like the valet thing, where maybe it's a conglomeration of both the government and the phenomena shutting people up. Who knows? But you're gonna have to tune in next week for part three, the final part. This is my first multi-parter in a while. Three-peat. Again, if you've made it this far, I hope you would have listened to the first one, because you missed out on that information. We're swinging back around with this information, so you're going to want to check it out. On that note, thanks for hanging out with us today. Hope you all had a wonderful week. Stay safe. Stay weird. And if you have top secret government clearance at Los Alamos, Kirtland, or Wright-Patterson, just keep your head on a swivel. Okay? Just do that.